They say one time around is all you get, but I'm still dancing, so you lost your bet. Welcome to Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always by my brother from another mother, St. John Mariano. John, how's it going?
Corey, I don't even want to talk about it right now. It's been a rough week, my friend.
Oh, no, what happened?
I mean, did you listen to the last episode?
I was there, actually. Yeah.
I fumbled more times than the New York Jets over the course of that episode. And man, did I hear it.
Uh-oh.
I got on a call with our sponsor, Ken Knapsack. He, not to say he wasn't happy with me, but I got notes. And he told me, do not throw them over my shoulder. Make sure I fold them up, put them in my pocket, and bring them to Corey. Because, man, I'm eating some crow today.
Sorry to hear that. I would like to say it's a team effort, but this really was you kind of dropping the ball last week.
Oh, it was 100% me. I mean, you can start with we didn't mention Ken at the top of the show, but it's my job to remind you and to bring that up as part of it. You have so many things that you're flipping the controls and doing things, and part of my responsibility is like, hey, Corey, can you please not forget to talk about our sponsor? He's the reason he's keeping the lights on around here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go look through the other notes. Can you do the sponsor thing? And I'll be right back. I'm just going to, I got to compose myself a little bit at the top of the show.
Absolutely. Of course, Backtracks Aerosmith is brought to you by Pop Rockin' Radio. This is Ken Knapsack's Pop Rockin' Radio, the big hits, album cuts, and B-sides from the rock and pop world that make up the soundtracks of our lives. Look for live shows and make requests. Sing, dance, and celebrate the music with the Pop Rockin' Radio community, which of course includes myself and John Mariano, unless he's been excommunicated. I'm not sure. Did you find a horse head in your bed after last week, John?
No, not in my bed, but Ken made me not ride a horse all week in Red Dead Redemption. I had to sadly chase him around as my character, as he would ride. And I did go find him from town to town. It was kind of a sad, sad week for me in video games and in real life. Because I fumbled the ball twice. I had a butt fumble last week, which is what we call a Mark Sanchez around here.
Right.
He's a New York Jet who famously ran into somebody's rear end and fumbled the ball, one of his own players. And I did that last week because I didn't pick a song.
That's right. I didn't think of it till just now. But yeah, after we knock off your song off the list, which we did, Rats in the Cellar was last week. That's a Mariano cut. We didn't replace it with anything. So yeah, John, that was your responsibility.
We were so excited about getting halfway through the like the first set of songs for this mixtape that I dropped the ball, and like I feel terrible because listeners, I don't know if they listen for that, but if they do, like it never came, and it was just like the show just ended, like yeah. Oh, we're gonna go home, and we talked. I don't remember what we talked about after the show, but we talked for a while and. Like, we didn't think of it, dude.
No, like, we were discussing my jujubes on your oo-oo-bees, and that's about
it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Replacing Rats in the Cellar, and this is a song I wanted to do last week, I think. I wanted to get our first cover out, and I'm going Helter Skelter by the Beatles.
Very nice.
It's a little bit of a problematic song. You know, not in the way as Jailbait was, but it has its own set of problems that we probably talk about if it hits the dice this week. And if it doesn't, when it comes up, we'll talk about it.
Now, Helter Skelter, John, was that just on Pandora's Box?
Yes.
So yes. I believe it was an outtake at one point, but yeah, it's featured prominently on Pandora's Box, which is a tremendous box set released kind of at the height of Aerosmith mania. In the mid 80s there. So that's kind of an interesting one. I even got to make sure I have it on my,
if you don't, I can get it to you. I have it. Pandora's Box was my gift to myself many years ago and where much of my, Aerosmith collection comes from.
A fantastic box set. I'm just looking on here. Yeah. You may have to send it to me. I don't know if I actually have it downloaded here, but I have Come Together, which is also on that box set and also a cover, but no, you're going with the Beatles, Helter Skelter, very much covered song. Of course, the Beatles recorded originally, but U2 did a very famous cover of it as well.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic song to cover. Personally, if I were covering a Beatles song, I'd cover Eleanor Rigby, one of my buddies who played a little punk rock back in the 90s. Always said that would be the song he'd cover, and it's always had my attention. But How to Scout is a fun one. So we'll talk about it if it hits. Why don't we recap the dice and give him a roll for the fans?
You got it. Currently on the dice, we have Chip Away the Stone, Helter Skelter, which was added last week. You Gotta Move, Permanent Vacation, Walk on Water, and Sick as a Dog. So if you're ready, John, we're going to shake the dice here. We're going to give it a roll, and we're going to come up with Permanent Vacation. This is two John songs in a row. Of course, the title track from the big comeback album. John, tell us your recollections of Permanent Vacation.
Oh, I actually put this song on my mixtapes and on my playlist as I go on vacation. And it's one of those things that gets me in the mood as I'm leaving the house, whether I'm hopping in a cab, a car service, or driving myself. It's something that kind of puts my head in that space. You know, some people will play Kokomo. You know, everybody has their vacation anthem, and this is mine. And yeah, it's Permanent Vacation, and the meaning of the song is maybe a little bit different, but I've always associated it with my retirement. Like, this will be my retirement theme when it's time for me to walk off into the sunset and be done working for the rest of my life, which probably won't happen until I'm 95. But when it does happen, this is the song that's being played.
You want to get yourself a tan where the sun never shines?
I do. I like to think of that as my ass crack, but anyway you cut it, let's give it a listen.
All right, just a little background. Permanent Vacation, of course, released August 25th, 1987, recorded at Little Mountain Studio in Vancouver. That's where all the big albums from the 80s was recorded. Produced by Bruce Fairbairn, very famous for doing Slippery When Wet and other Bon Jovi albums. He did some Kiss and some other big albums there. His first really with Aerosmith, and the first time they ever allowed outside writers to come in. Although Permanent Vacation, not one of those songs, this is written by Tyler and Brad Whitford. His only writing credit, I believe, on the Permanent Vacation album, except for the movie, which is the instrumental at the end of the album. So a Tyler Whitford composition. You don't have a lot of those in the discography.
No. And I think it's something that I probably wish they would have had more of based on the results, right? Like, this is the reason why I picked this song, right? And last week we got to hear one of my favorites. We're going to hear one of my other favorites this week. You know, I'm front loading this with my favorites, so it's going to be hard pressed as we get deeper into the catalog for me to pick ones that maybe aren't as much of my personal favorites.
All right, folks, park your ass in a lawn chair, grab a Mai Tai, and let's take you on vacation, a Permanent Vacation from 1987. I always loved that part of the song. Yeah, Joe Perry just playing a riff, and then you cut and you hear all these like monkeys and birds and shit. It was awesome.
Yeah. It puts you in that I'm going somewhere tropical. I'm going on vacation. I'm gonna have a coconut drink in my hand with an umbrella sitting in it, right? Like, even the riff there puts you in that headspace.
Yep, totally. When the song kicks in there, and I thought Joey's snare sounds great kicking in there, and all of a sudden you got classic Steven, right, doing a little vocal jazz there to start the song, and then the whole band kicks in. You got steel drum in there, and the band is cooking. That is just awesome.
So juxtapose this what we heard last week with Rats in the Cellar.
Yeah,
right. We really heard this like gritty New York band, like, and I know they're a Boston band, but like this East Coast band singing about New York. And now you have like this, almost like this glitzy rock band singing about vacation, and they do feel, it feels like a rebirth in a lot of ways, right? Like from where they were to where they are. And we know that there's a little bit of murky stuff that we're going to talk to in between, but this feels like a true rebirth of the band and a lot closer to the stuff that we're going to get on Pump and Get a Grip and Nine Lives following this.
Yeah, well, and Done With Mirrors didn't launch the band like they thought it would. But then after Done With Mirrors came the collaboration with Run DMC, and that launched the band. And so now all of a sudden, Permanent Vacation, that's when John Callender and you know, the management team kind of got together, got the band clean finally, and you know, got them focused, brought in outside writers like Desmond Child, like Jim Vallance, you know, things like that, and really put forth their best foot. I know this album doesn't get a ton of good reviews. You know, AllMusic gave it a 4 out of 5, which is great. Rolling Stone gave it 2 out of 5. A lot of reviews say collection of sublime pop metal, but it's an album I always really enjoyed. It's got a little bit of everything. And, you know, this was the 10th track off of Permanent Vacation. The last original, really, you have I'm Down as the Beatles cover is next, and then the instrumental. So, you know, this is one of the last big tracks on the album. And when you get into the lyrics, you're getting into things like My Nose Is Clean and Lordy, I Don't Need No Sedation. This is Aerosmith clean and sober, you know, like a phoenix rising from the ashes. Last week we listened to Rats in the Cellar, which is very much just five guys playing, like, you know, half of them were whacked out on drugs and, you know, they were just recording it live. This is very much a produced song, and you can hear it. Everything's crisp and clean. Bruce Fairbairn is a very good producer, and you know, it doesn't have that live band feel, but it's very engineered and very clean and very kind of manufactured to sound good. I think it sounds good.
No, not only does it sound good, I really dig the addition of the steel drums was such a good call on this song.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's you know, you're getting the sound effects at the top of it. Now you're getting the steel drums layered in, and the gritty band might not be there, but the heart of the band and the soul of the band still is, and it's very evident in this song.
Yeah, and remember, 1987, like rock pop was pretty huge, and glam metal, hair metal, if you will. So Aerosmith's trying to kind of, you know, fit in that groove. So, you know, it's not going to have the production of a Toys in the Attic or a Rocks. But this is very much mid-80s Aerosmith and kind of doing it better than a lot of the bands in 1987 were doing it. Thoughts on the chorus, John? That's kind of a weaker section of the song for me. I like the end of the chorus, but the I really, really need Saint-Tropez stuff. It kind of falls a little flat for me. How about you?
Yeah, it's lyrically, it's not the best, but the vibe is enjoyable, right? Like, to me, following up on the steel drums and everything, like, that's my favorite part of the song. Going on, right? And that's what gets me in the vacation mood. So to have a little respite or a little breather after that, I don't mind it, right? Because if it was just all that, it would be too one note. So changing it up and breaking it up, you might feel it's a little flat, but it's hard from where they're going and how up they are. And I'm not saying up fast tempo, but up energy wise and up spirit wise, the only place spiritually they can go is a little flat. And I think that's the problem that they create with the energy that the song creates.
All righty, let's keep it rolling. I got a system that you really got a pinhead. She thinks you can get, but you can't get straight. She says you're living, but I kind of think she's brain dead. Just extra the baggage on a late night parade. Yeah, I really need it. will say I really like that extended "Got to Get Away" and the way they hold that out leading into the solo here. I thought was really well done. Your thoughts on leading into the guitar solo here?
I feel like you ever have like a calzone or something that's fresh out of the oven, and the mozzarella just stretches to the point where like you're waiting for it to break, and it doesn't. And the way they drag that out there, it feels like that, but in the best way possible, right? In like the most delicious morsel ever of just stretching out that mozzarella till it's like you know as thin as a piece of dental floss. And then it breaks, and now we're gonna get into the guitar solo, and they couldn't have held it any longer, but they held it for just the right length of time.
And all at once, John, I love you for the perfect metaphor, and hate you because I haven't had supper yet, and I'm craving calzone now.
So as much as the song is so polished and so produced, they are feeling it here. Like it really does feel like the band is jamming, you know, and it's weird how it captures all of that. It captures the production, the glitz, the glamour of mid to late 80s pop rock. But you're also getting some of the grittiness and the jamming of the band that we were getting. You know, when we listened to Rocks last week, it's not as gritty. It's definitely got more sheen and shine to it. And even the way they're playing, it doesn't feel like they're just feeling the notes. It feels very deliberate, and it feels very intentional. But it also feels like a little bit like blues or like jazz, you know, from a rock band.
Good observation. You know, one thing I noticed about that extended musical section there was I could hear the bass. I couldn't really do that on Rats in the Cellar, but you could actually hear Tom playing, and that was kind of nice.
Well, and that's where you get to the production value, and that's where we're going to get to. So some of this newer stuff is going to be a lot cleaner, and the way they're recording it, technology has gotten better now, and we're going to see a lot of that very, very soon, or, you know, at least here and there as we sprinkle it in, right? Because that's the nature of how we're putting together this mixtape is – how we feel about putting on the song is when the song goes on.
Exactly. You know what? I'm going to speculate here. I don't know this for a fact, but one of the engineers on this album was Bob Rock, who rock fans will know. He has produced a lot of great albums. He did a lot of good stuff with Metallica. He also did Saint Anger, unfortunately. But during that Saint Anger period, Bob Rock was playing bass with Metallica. And Bob Rock, you know, a bass player, he was in a band called the Payolas up here in Canada, and another one called Rock and Hide, which are both pretty forgettable. But maybe that was his influence saying, you know what, let's turn the bass up a little bit. People need to hear what the good stuff that Tom Hamilton's laying down here. Love me some Bob Rock. Love me some kind of monster. But let's keep going here. We got 2 minutes left in Permanent Vacation. I want to give a quick shout out to Morgan Rail playing the steel drums. You know, we had a little Steven Tyler on the harmonica. We had the band cooking in there. Joe sounded great. Brad sounded great. Joey's playing the hell of those drums. But, you know, those steel drums really make this song a highlight for me. I never realized he said the girls be coming down in Cayman Brac.
Yeah, and this is peak Steven Tyler. This is what we wait for, right, with the lyrics.
This is the guy who wrote a song about going down on a muffin and had it played on the radio for how many years? Like, the man's a lyrical genius.
I defy you to listen to the end of that song and not dance in your chair or get up and start dancing.
Permanent Vacation, 1987. John, would it surprise you to know that this song was played 197 times by Aerosmith on tour, the last time coming in 1990 in Perth, Australia? So they haven't played this since the Pump tour.
That's insane, and that's kind of sad. This is definitely a song I would love to hear live. I would just love to see how they pull off some of the effects of this. Maybe who knows? They're doing that residency in a few months down in Vegas. You know, maybe it makes a return. It definitely should. If they're doing a residency, I feel like they should try to play as many of their songs as possible. And this is one of them that definitely deserves to see the light of day.
Yep. Every set list should be different, especially if you're doing 6 months of a residency in Las Vegas. So here's hoping they maybe put Permanent Vacation back on the set list. Steven Tyler wants to know, though, John.
Any good?
Is it any good?
I thought it was flipping terrific.
There you have it, folks. John Mariano says this track is
outstanding.
I just love my sound clips. I get a little bored here. I like Permanent Vacation. I don't love it. I don't see it having a long shelf life on the set list, but I'm glad you put it on there. I'm glad we got to listen to it tonight. It was a lot of fun. Not the best cut off of Permanent Vacation, though, I wouldn't say, but a good track nonetheless.
I feel like if I were going to be asked about it, it's middle of the road of what is the 10th song we have now?
Yes.
So I'd say this is like maybe somewhere between 4 and 6 of what we have, which I think is fair. I think it'll stay on for a little while, depending on what songs come after 18. But like you said, it's not going to stick around to the end, but it'll be fun while it lasts.
But I'm dying of curiosity, John, and we're not going to let this mistake happen again. What are you thinking I'm putting on the dice now for the next show?
I'm thinking about time traveling, Corey. I'm going to get in Doc Emmett Brown's DeLorean. I'm going to go way back to 1974.
Ooh, that's way back. What do you think?
Way back. I'm thinking it's time to put on some Seasons of Wither.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Especially with the diehards, Seasons of Wither. Yeah, that's still a very popular Aerosmith song. That's going to be an interesting conversation, I feel.
I agree. And I think, we're doing some of the shinier new stuff on here, and it's time to get back to basics.
Well, that's definitely basics. All right. They played this, I believe, in 07. I'm not sure if that's right or not, but they have been playing this fairly recently. This is one I can guarantee, I think, will be on the set list of the new Vegas residency. Tesla actually covered this this song on an album. That'd be really good to hear. So Seasons of Wither now takes the place of Permanent Vacation on the dice. John, anything else you'd like to talk about before we wrap it up for this week?
I just I always try to give a shout out to our good sponsor Ken Knapsack. He's a good friend of mine, good friend of yours, and he's busting his hump over on his Patreon. If you want to go and give him support or some love, he does a couple of great podcasts. He does one called Four Center with his buddy Joe Scrimshaw and Jennifer Landa, and they cover all things Star Wars, and are my go-to for any Star Wars listening. And he also does Saturday Night Knapsack, which is his own sketch comedy show. He's a one-man Kids in the Hall, and he does some amazing work on Saturday nights. And on top of that, he does the pop, rock, and radio, which we're always talking about because you're all music lovers here. And Ken's one of the best DJs that you probably haven't discovered yet. But if you take the time to go to pop, rock, and radio over at Mixcloud, it'll be well worth the journey for you. So thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next week.
You want me to play the outro from there?
No, I want you to talk.
Okay. Well, you just wrapped it up, though.
Oh.
You screwed up again, John. Jeez, we can't really trust you to do anything. Maybe leave the producer style stuff to me, and I'll just throw to you to say your little two bits, and then you just give it back to me, and I'll end the show.
You know, I'm having a rough week, Corey. I got chided by Ken. I'm getting chided by you.
Yep.
I'm gonna go and order a New York pizza, and what I'll do is I'll send you pictures as it starts to disappear.
I don't know if we're gonna make 18 fucking songs at this point, John. I might be done after this.
Tune in next week to see if Corey shows up.
Yeah, see if I'm here. If I am, great. If not, John will have a new co-host that he can annoy all to beat hell. But you can always find me with my much better broadcasting partner, Mark Kammeyer, on the show and the podcast Will Rock, where we're breaking down the Van Halen catalog. And of course, please support all of our friends on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, which we are very pleased to be a part of, and support Ken Napsok. Like Ken said, I can't stress that enough. I'm a patron of his. I'm a subscriber on Mixcloud. A tremendous individual, playing some great tunes on Mixcloud. And his other songs are fantastic, too. And he just dropped a new one called The Ramble for all of his patrons that I'm really looking forward to checking out. So by all means, support Ken Napsok. But as always, maybe for the last time, we'll give the last word to Steven Tyler.